There was a time in my life when I owned four cheese graters, and I rarely even eat cheese. There was the box grater, the microplane, the weird flat one with the ergonomic handle designed by Satan, and there was one shaped like a cow because kitsch is how capitalism tricks you into smiling when you're down. I had a cheese grater for every occasion, except the one where you wake up in a cold sweat and realize you spent your life accumulating things to distract yourself from the yawning void inside. Four cheese graters, zero inner peace. That was my life. And that's where this story begins, because the first step to healing isn't acceptance, it's disgust. All right, let me tell you how I got here. And not in the birth story kind of way. No one needs that visual. I mean, to the point where I sat in an almost completely, well, almost empty apartment, not completely, with a folding chair and a single spoon. And I thought to myself, yeah, this feels good. It wasn't some Marie Kondo epiphany. It wasn't a Pinterest board. It was depression. The real kind. The kind that makes you look at your sock drawer and think, I don't need 18 of these. I'm not planning on surviving that long. And so, I began what I now refer to as the Great Purge. Not to be confused with the movie where people murder each other, although I did nearly assault somebody over a broken French press one time. You want to see the state of someone's soul? Don't look at their face. Open their junk drawer. Mine had three broken flashlights, expired batteries, a bunch of random cables, ancient cell phones, and a chocolate stained, at least I hope it was chocolate, handwritten note that said, "Start over." I have no memory of writing it. That's the scariest part. It's funny how we keep all this crap just in case. Just in case what? Society collapses and we rebuild civilization with IKEA Allen wrenches and expired soy sauce packets? The truth is, we don't just keep it just in case. We keep it because throwing it away feels like admitting defeat. Like admitting that we were wrong to buy it in the first place. And if we were wrong about that, what else were we wrong about? Everything, probably everything. So I started getting rid of stuff fast, mercilessly. Old clothes, extra plates, that weird gift from an ex I kept for reasons I still don't understand. Gone, all of it. And what I realized, once the dust settled, and there was a lot of dust, is that I didn't miss a single goddamn thing. All right, so let's talk about why we do this. why we drown in stuff and call it comfort. And I think it's because we've been brainwashed. Capitalism is a religion, and advertising is its scripture. And we are the faithful, kneeling at the altar of money and materialism, praying for meaning through objects and the dopamine they temporarily provide. You know, we're told from birth that more equals better, more friends, more likes, more success, more square footage, more followers, more shit. Don't feel good? That's okay. There's a product for that. Don't feel safe? There's an upgrade. Don't feel seen? Just buy something loud enough to shout for you. But here's the dark little joke. The system doesn't care if you're happy. It only cares if you're hungry. And not for food, for identity, for validation, for belonging. And you know something? It's never enough. You never arrive. Because as soon as you buy the thing, the bar moves. There's always a better version, a sexier model. It's a treadmill powered by your self-loathing. You are not a consumer. You're the product. Your attention, your data, your time, your dopamine. These are the real currencies now. Stuff is just the bait. All right, so let's talk about the spoon. After weeks of purging, I realized completely by accident that I was down to one spoon. And it worked. The single scratched stainless steel spoon became my tiny symbol of defiance. It fed me soup. It stirred my coffee, delivered ice cream during meltdowns, scooped peanut butter on particularly nihilistic afternoons. It did everything it needed to do. And somehow I survived. And even more than survived, I felt lighter. Not just physically, but mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Like for the first time in years, my inner life wasn't being drowned out by junk. That one spoon wasn't a compromise. It was a revelation. It taught me that minimalism isn't about austerity. It's about clarity. You keep what matters. You let go of what doesn't. It's a philosophy disguised as a cleaning project. It's not about becoming a monk. It's about becoming intentional. And in a world engineered to make you reactive, that's radical. So there's a rule that I live by now, informed by minimalism. If it's not a hell yes, it's a hell no. And that goes for pretty much everything. Clothes, projects, people, events, jobs, jeans, emails, dates, invitations to parties I never wanted to attend in the first place. If I have to talk myself into something, it's probably not aligned with who I am. If I need to make a pros and cons list, it's already a no. Life is short. Attention is limited. And you only get so many hell yeses before you burn out and end up emotionally ghosting your own life. Minimalism taught me to treat my energy like a limited resource, because it is. And I'd rather spend it with people I love, doing things I actually enjoy, than organizing junk I bought to impress people who never even see it. So minimalism for me, it wasn't some cute Pinterest aesthetic. It wasn't about sparking joy or becoming the next beige influencer who drinks mushroom tea and judges your throw pillows. It was survival. Because when you finally see the game for what it is, when you realize you've been tricked into spending your entire life trying to impress people you don't even like, buying shit you don't need, with money you don't really have, it does something to you. Something irreversible. You can't unsee it. You can't go back to the mail and empty that mailbox the same way again. And you can't go back to the mall and pretend that a scented candle is going to solve your spiritual crisis. You know, you've already walked through the fire at that point. And now you smell like burnt delusion. Minimalism in its rawest form is a middle finger to all of it. It's standing in a collapsing society surrounded by endless noise and glittery bullshit and choosing silence. Just choosing silence. And it's choosing the folding chair, the one spoon, the quiet life. Not because you've given up, but because you've woken up and you're done letting your trauma be monetized by billionaires in Patagonia vests. And here's the beautiful twist. Once you get out of the performative life, the curated clutter, the Instagram-worthy success story, you find something stranger and better. You find clarity. You find space. You find out who you are when there's nothing left to buy. No one left to impress, and nothing standing between you and your own goddamn brain. That's where I live now. In the space between enough and who cares. It's not glamorous. It's not something you can sell, but it's real. So if you're listening to this thinking, oh damn, I'm buried under so much crap, and none of it feels like mine anymore, well, then there's a simple, few simple, brutal steps I can suggest. Number one, pick one item, throw it out. The one that makes you feel the most pathetic. The aspirational ad machine, the Panini press, the shirt you bought for a party that never happened. You'll know the one. Number two, stop buying things for the person you want to be. Buy for the person you are right now. You don't need a better version of you. You need less shame and more floor space. Number three, sit with the emptiness. Literally, in a quiet room, on a folding chair, with a spoon, if that helps. Feel the discomfort of being alone with yourself and stay there. It passes, and on the other side is something resembling peace. Number four, unfollow anyone who sells you the idea of more, especially if they're smiling and wearing linen. They are not your friends. They are digital salespeople in disguise. Number five, redefine wealth. For me, wealth is time, space, mental quiet, the freedom to say no. You don't need to be rich to have that. You just need to start subtracting. Now, I'm not saying you should live like a monk in a cave. I'm not even saying minimalism will fix your life. It won't. Your life will still be weird and messy and mildly to wildly disappointing. But you'll have some room to breathe. And in a world that profits off your suffocation, that's not nothing. That's everything. Thanks for watching.